Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you don't know it by now, today we are observing LWML Sunday. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League was officially founded for the purpose of helping to spread the gospel in the communities, in their own communities, and in communities around the world. But even before they were officially founded, mission-minded women of our synod were already supporting the efforts of our church body in many ways, our seminaries. Through the help of these women, many people have received the gift of seeing Jesus and coming to faith in him. And many others have benefited from the numerous acts of charity, quilts, and gifts of food and clothing that are supplied by these women. And over the years, God has truly been at work through them. I've served four congregations, and every congregation has had an LWML chapter, and I'm always amazed at the work that they do. Our gospel reading this morning is a familiar one. It's from the Easter season. It tells of those two disciples who were walking to the town of Emmaus on the afternoon of the first Easter, but they couldn't see Jesus, even when he was right in front of them. These two disciples weren't uninformed or unbelievers or ignorant. They knew who Jesus said he was. And they'd even heard the report from the women that they had even seen a vision of angels, but they were so despondent they couldn't believe. So Jesus says, "Oh foolish ones." I wonder what he actually meant by that. "Oh clueless ones, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Did you catch that? Where did Jesus go to tell the disciples about himself? What scriptures were scriptures then? Old Testament. I've become a fanatic about getting people into the Old Testament. You've got to know the Old Testament if you really want to fully understand the gospel. So, that was off-tapped. Okay, so anyway. So they were listening to him, he was telling them all the things concerning himself, and then they invited him in to stay with them for the night. They still didn't recognize him, but when he broke the bread, their eyes were opened. Did you notice what the disciples said after that took place? They looked at each other and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Weren't we excited when he showed us that he truly is the long foretold Messiah?" I have to admit, when I hear those words, I wonder about my own heart. Is it burning within me? Like those disciples, would I be willing to drop everything and run 7 miles to tell my friends about Jesus? I'm not in some far-off place, but what am I doing to support others who will go and share Jesus where I can't be? Like the women of our church body began doing in the 1850s, and the LWML has been doing officially since 1942. Is my heart burning? Am I excited about getting Jesus to other people? The reality is, most of the time, it probably isn't. It seems so often that life, even a pastor's life, can be filled up with so many things, church things, that the main thing, the Jesus thing, sometimes gets overshadowed. But it's only the Jesus thing that truly works faith, forgiveness, and eternal life for anyone. Some of you may be familiar with the story of John Newton. He was the captain of a ship, a slave ship, that was used to transport human beings from their homes in Africa across the sea to lives of servitude, if they survived the crossing. Newton was known as a mocker of God and of those who expressed their faith in God. Yet, whenever he got into a close scrape, or, as happened on several occasions, narrowly avoided death, he'd try for a time to live a better life. Now, that wasn't out of any love for God. He was just trying by his own efforts to avoid being cut off from God. But one close call was different. Got his attention. Moments after he had left the deck of his ship during a violent storm, the man who replaced him on watch was washed overboard and drowned. Newton said that when he began to realize that's when he began to realize his own helplessness. So he began to read the Bible and in time became a different man. Turned to Christ, left the slave trade, and got married. And he eventually became an Anglican minister and an active opponent of slavery. But John Newton, while he may have been a slaver, was no more sinful, no blinder by nature than anyone else. And he's most remembered by these words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." John Newton's eyes were opened, and God set a fire in his heart. You know, we don't need to look any further than next door or down the street or even in our own families to find people who need the light of Jesus Christ. People who are blind to God's truth are all around us. And they may be people we know and love very much. So we don't have to go far to find the mission field. But that's true also of people around the world. Dr. Robert Rogner, the executive director of World Mission for the LCMS, told about one of his experiences in India. He writes, "On a summer Sunday in 2004, after I had worshipped with a Lutheran congregation in Nagarkol, India, five pastors of our Indian partner church asked me to travel with them that afternoon to a village where a new church had been started. They were going to baptize the first new believers there. It was about a two-hour drive. When we arrived, we drove up to a tent top with open sides set up for the service. Worship had already begun, and about 250 or 300 people were there, and there were 40 who were to be baptized, seated in the first four rows, all dressed in white. When it was time for the baptisms, the five pastors jumped up. One grabbed a basin of water, one took the certificates, another had a Bible. After the first person confessed his or her faith and said they renounced the devil and all his works, he pulled out a piece of paper from the pocket and gave it to the pastor. The pastor looked at the paper, announced the man's name, and then another pastor baptized him in the name of the Triune God. They went up one row and down another, baptizing these people. And in the middle of the third row, there was a woman in her early 20s who stood up. The pastor took her paper and announced her name. The other pastor baptized her, and she began to cry. She had a little 4 or 5-year-old girl holding onto her hand, and the pastor announced her daughter's name. And she was baptized, and the woman cried even more. And as the pastors finished baptizing those in the third row, she continued to cry, and they finished the fourth row, and she was still crying. After the service, I asked the pastor who would translate to help me talk to this woman. We talked for a couple of minutes, and then I said, "I couldn't help but notice after baptism that you were crying a lot. I guess those tears are because you're so happy that you're baptized and have become a child of God." And she said yes, she was happy she was a child of God, that Jesus is in her heart, that she's received God's free grace, that she has the forgiveness of all of her sin and all the bad things she's done in her life. This brought joy to her eyes, she said. But, she said, while I have tears of joy flowing from my left eye, I have tears of sorrow flowing from my right eye. And so I asked, why is that? I'll never forget her face, Dr. Rogner said. She looked at me square in the eye and said, while I have received Jesus in my heart today and his grace and forgiveness, my husband, my mother and father, my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, and all of my cousins do not know God's grace and forgiveness because they still live in the darkness of all the Hindu gods. And that's when the Holy Spirit prompted me to open my Bible to 1 Peter 2, and I read to her, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And I encouraged her to not let God's love, grace, and forgiveness be only for her and her daughter, but to go and tell her husband and her mother and father and other family members about Jesus. We left the village. I returned to the United States. For the next 3 or 4 months, I had her in mind and kept her on my prayer list. As happens over time, other prayers came to mind and I forgot about her. But a number of months later, I received an email from the pastor who had done the translating for me. He was so happy to tell me that he and the other pastors were returning to that same village. They were doing it on an Easter Sunday, and they'd be performing at least as many baptisms as they had when I was there with them the previous summer. And he was excited to report that a majority of these Easter baptisms would be members of that woman's family, including her husband and her mother and father. This woman had been spiritually blind, but God opened her eyes through the power of the gospel. And when she realized that God had called her out of darkness, she did so that she might be a light to others. And she heard and she acted. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? It's God's word that warms our hearts and moves us to tell others about Jesus, as did this young woman in India. And like her, we too have been baptized. Our eyes have been opened to the gospel so that through our lips and lives, the light of the Father may shine for all to see. All of us who believe are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And it's for this very purpose that the LWML exists. Over the years, the LWML has continued to hold before the face of the people of our church body the importance of being a missionary wherever you are. They've supported missionaries. They've supported mission work. They've supported people in local congregations to be a missionary where God has planted them. Now, our culture is much different than the culture in India. And in many ways, I suspect, it's just as difficult, if not more difficult, for people to share the message of Jesus there, where Christians are often persecuted for their faith. But one other difference is that the people in India, the unbelievers in India, are people, all the people there actually, are very spiritually minded. And the gospel rings with real hope from spiritual bondage. That wonderful light of Christ opens the eyes of people and frees them from the gods of their culture. But here in our culture, most people don't know that they have gods. Don't realize that the things they're striving for won't satisfy their hunger for hope and purpose and love. And that takes a different kind of evangelism. an evangelism that must not be only words, but which preaches through a life that takes courage during times of difficulty, confidence in a future that is in God's hands, and hope even in the face of death. That's the mission work that the LWML supports and that you and I have been called to. And I pray that our hearts too will burn brightly so that others might come to know the wonderful light of Christ that everyone needs.